The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
All right, good morning. Can everybody hear me? Thumbs up. Excellent. It's wonderful to be practicing with you all this morning. I'm looking through this wonderful checkerboard of familiar faces and new faces, and it's reminding me of what Joan Hoshi used to often say when we would practice out here together, that this practice of sitting quietly is kind of a revolutionary insurgent thing to do in our culture, right? And maybe how much more so is this subversive to use the internet like this to support one another in our waking up? So it's kind of overcast and cloudy here today. I'm talking to you from Hyannis Zendo, which is out on Cape Cod. And it was snowing on Friday. Not a lot, but enough. We've got a few daffodils poking their heads out. Maybe a little bit of color on the forsythia, but the trees are still bare. And the spring just comes kind of slow out here on the Cape. But there's a lot of anticipation. among the people out here and in the world out here. And those of you who have sat with us in Hyannis Zendo know that the Zendo backs up onto a marsh, a saltwater marsh that leads out into the ocean. And the osprey, this pair of osprey that live just on the other side of the marsh, returned last week. And it's always a marker of spring that they return, and it's sort of joyful for us to see them and hear them. They have this huge nest that they've built up over the years on top of a telephone pole out there, and you could hear their really piercing cries, their screeches as they fish in the marsh and do their thing. And not long ago in the 1970s, there was almost no osprey left, maybe one or two pairs. And then in the early 70s, there was some government regulation, I guess, of the DDT that was killing them off. And they've rebounded amazingly. And so now there are hundreds and hundreds of pairs that come each year. And the piping plovers have returned as well, these little shorebirds, these endangered little birds, and they have their breeding grounds down on the beach here. And the whales are migrating, and we're going to maybe head out to where Joan used to live and see if we could see some from the beach later today for Sajan's birthday. And we've also got coyotes and foxes. We're seeing them in the marsh now. And in fact, I saw a coyote sprint by me the other day on the beach just before dawn as I was out. And it was the first time I had seen one on the beach like that. It was coming from where the piping plovers nest, so I might have been out there for a meal itself. And this kind of springness, this anticipation, this excitement seems to be all over the place right here. And when we sit in our morning practice, we're hearing it. We're hearing the marsh wake up. We're hearing the spring become more and more vivid in the soundscape around us. And this is after, you know, turning inwards all winter, and maybe this winter more than others, where we really turned in and we closed our doors. Of course, we opened new doors as well, but it was very much a quiet time out here. So this moment of awakening is very exciting. And so I've been thinking about Dongshan's question to his teacher Yunyan. He asked, "Who can hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma?" Now, Thich Nhat Hanh advises us to listen to Dharma talks as if we are a plowed field and the Dharma rain is falling on us, right? With that kind of openness. And I've heard the advice to listen like dry grass, and so the Dharma sparks might catch. Tony Packard says to listen freshly to the Dharma. And so here's the koan. Dongshan asked his teacher Yunyan, "Who can hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma?" Yunyan said, "The non-sentient can hear it." Dongshan said, "Can you hear it, teacher?" Yunyan replied, "If I heard it, you could not hear me preach the Dharma." Dongshan said, "In that case, Dongshan doesn't hear you preach the Dharma." Yunyan replied, "If you still don't hear me preach the Dharma, how much less can you hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma?" And Dongshan had an insight at this point, and he recited this poem. "Wonderful, wonderful. The preaching of the Dharma by the non-sentient is inconceivable. If you try to hear it with your ears, it's hard to understand. When you listen with your mind's eye, then you know it." And so, a little bit of background to this conversation. For a few centuries before these teachers met, there had been these debates in Chinese Buddhism about whether Buddha nature applies to both sentient beings, right? Thinking and feeling beings, maybe beings with a nervous system, and non-sentient beings. And as we know now, the conversation has expanded on sentient. You know, our tree is sentient. Do forests communicate? And I think we're finding more and more yes and yes to these questions. At the time in China, non-sentient were exemplified by a tile, a whisk, a wall, or pebbles. And in Chinese Taoism, and later, of course, in Japan, with the infusion of Shintoism into Zen, the natural world was much more explicitly included in the non-sentient. You know, sometimes sounds and smells are included. And in our Dogen lineage, of course, mountains and rivers are actualizing the Buddha way. At the time in China, these questions about whether Dharma and enlightenment manifest in non-sentient beings or not were being debated. And if Buddha nature permeated everywhere, did it differ in how it appeared in sentient and non-sentient beings? And how did this Dharma of the non-sentient fit in with the inclusiveness evolving in Mahayana Buddhism? So in retrospect, when you read about this, it gets very convoluted. There's all kinds of doctrine and rabbit holes that open up. And maybe that's why in our Zen literature, we have Yunyan and Dongshan using this conversation, this teaching of the non-sentient, to help us leap free of these categories, to get out of the world of thinking and discursive cutting up of reality. So Dongshan's question to Yunyan was something he was trying to puzzle out after hearing a similar exchange that happened between a national teacher Huizong and a monk. And in it, the national teacher tells the monk that sages, not ordinary folks like us, sages hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma. And when asked by the monk, the national teacher, who is conversing with the monk, asks if, you know, teacher, do you hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma? And the teacher says, fortunately, he doesn't. Because if he did, he said, I would be equal to all sages, then you cannot hear me expound the Dharma. You know, how fortunate. And this is the same as Yunyan's reply to Dongshan. When Dongshan asks, who can hear it? The non-sentient, hear the non-sentient, preach the Dharma. So in another version of this koan, the teacher Yunyan tries to help Dongshan more directly by holding up his whisk, his teaching whisk, and asking, do you hear it? And Dongshan replies, no, I don't hear it. And we might ask at this point, who is this I that doesn't hear it? Yunyan goes on to say, if you can't hear me preaching like this, how much less can you hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma? And again, this admonition releases Dongshan from grasping and he recites his poem. Wonderful, wonderful. The preaching of the Dharma by the non-sentient is inconceivable. If you try to hear it with your ears, it's hard to understand. When you listen with your mind's eye, then you know it. It's inconceivable. You can't get there from here. You can't think your way into this. You know, taking a breath and listening to the marsh, to the world around us. Thich Nhat Hanh offers a gatha for listening to the sound of the bell. Listen, listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true self. And I like to use that gatha just for listening in general. Dongshan's wonderful, wonderful is the same thing. It's filled with wonder, not knowing. Dongshan tells us that this Dharma transmission is operating outside of thinking, not in categories. Outside these debates, it's inconceivable. It's not conceived, not something we could grasp mentally. And this makes me think of Shakyamuni Buddha holding up the flower and Mahakashyapa smiling, right? We consider this flower koan the first transmission in Zen from the historical Buddha Shakyamuni to the first teacher in the lineage, Mahakashyapa. And this transmission is just that, an expression of the non-sentient preaching the Dharma. You know, a flower blossoming and a smile blooming. Shakyamuni raises his flower and Kashyapa just smiles. There's no concept behind it, no agenda, no debate, no story. And it's like watching the sunrise over the ocean with a good friend by your side. There's no description or words necessary. Nothing will bring you closer to one another or to the sunrise. But those monks at Vulture Peach, where the Buddha was preaching, didn't get it. They came to hear a Dharma talk. They saw the Buddha holding up a flower and thought, you know, what does that mean? What's the Buddha doing? What am I missing? You know, when is he going to teach the Dharma? And they weren't listening freshly, but Mahakashyapa was. And when he smiled, they still didn't get it. So the Buddha, out of compassion, said, I have the treasury of the true Dharma eye, the wondrous mind of Nirvana, the true form of no form, the subtle and wondrous gate to the Dharma, the special transmission outside of scriptural teaching not established on words and language, I now entrust it to Mahakashapa. So this is pretty extravagant language, and it's totally extra. The Buddha's pointing backwards, getting tangled up in the weeds, trying to help those monks and help us understand what's inconceivable. The sages heard the flower with their eyes, and they smiled. And we also hear the flower with our eyes, with our mind's eye. And we sometimes don't recognize it because we're wrapped up in our story, in our fear of not getting it. Muman chides the Buddha for this extravagant speech, saying he's selling dog meat, but advertising it as fine mutton. But it's just Shakyamuni expounding the Dharma for us. You know, stepping into the world of sentient beings. And the true Dharma eye, he says, that Mahakashapa saw with is the same one, the same as Dongshan's eye that hears the Dharma of the non-sentient. You know, the flowers blooming in the marsh, this coyote's huffing breath and her paws on the sand. You know, the teacher's whisk and the smell of incense, the stones in the driveway and the jackhammers, sirens. You know, the stink of the low tide in the marsh, you know. Dongshan starts the exchange with Yunyan, asking, who can hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma? Dogen, commenting on this, tells us to investigate this question in detail throughout your life, throughout many lives. The question, who can hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma, can work as a statement, says Dogen. This statement is the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of our practice. Who can hear the non-sentient preach the Dharma? Now, who is this hearing? Now, our Zazen teaches us to look with this inquisitive mind, a beginner's mind, not clouded with categories and ideas, not stuck on fixed notions. And as we sit, you know, we watch what arises moment by moment. Our posture is upright, and we're alert, like a tiger, right, about to leap. Who can hear it? You know, who is this who that can hear it? You know, who is it now? Emperor Wu asked Bodhidharma, you know, who are you facing me? And Bodhidharma said, don't know. And then he went to Shaolin to practice Zazen, facing the wall, and asking, who is this? Don't know. And this question and answer aren't different. We keep asking it through our lives. They're the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of our practice. When non-sentient beings hear non-sentient beings preach the Dharma, this is the transmission. This is hearing with the mind's eye or hearing with the eye. And Dogen says this is just dropping away body and mind. It reminds me of our chant, Buddha bows to Buddha and Buddha recognizes Buddha. And although Dongshan had an insight at the end of this exchange with Yunyan, his understanding wasn't complete at that point. And so when he was leaving the temple, he asked his teacher, after you die, if someone asks me, what was the master's truth? What should I say? He still had some doubts in his mind. And so he was looking for something to hold on to. He might have been asking, you know, what did I understand? What did I get? he was still a little bit separate. Yunyan paused and said, "Just this, just this." And so Dongshan went off and was pondering this exchange. And when he was crossing a stream, he happened to look down and saw his reflection in the flowing water. And at that moment, he was greatly awakened. And so he recited another verse. "Just avoid seeking from others, or you will be far estranged from yourself. I now go on alone. I meet him everywhere. He is now just I, but I am not he. One must understand this way. I meet her everywhere." Right. A flower in the spring and the smile. Dogen carried Yunyan and Dongshan's teaching back to Japan and it's been transmitted to us. You know, this coyote on the beach, you know, who hears its preaching? An April snowstorm up in New Hampshire. You know, who hears that Dharma? Who is this? Who are you, you know, that hears the non-sentient preach the Dharma? Listen, listen, this wonderful sound brings me back to my true self. Thank you.